I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the county will vote on funding Project Marvel in November, should San Antonio have its own vote. After the SA City Council passed a resolution to move forward with a term sheet with the Spurs, Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones then proposed bringing the issue to city voters. The mayor joins us to tell us more and to take your calls. And later on The Source, every 23 minutes in Texas, a crash occurs involving a driver under the influence of alcohol. That adds up to more than 60 crashes every day. And Labor Day weekend is when DUI crashes surge. Sheriff Javier Salazar joins us to explain how local law enforcement will be patrolling against DUI drivers. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Last Thursday, the San Antonio City Council did not pass a resolution to hit pause on making a deal with the Spurs organization, but it did pass moving forward with a term sheet, a non-binding framework for a Spurs deal for a new downtown arena. We're now joined by San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones to tell us what could be happening next. And welcome back to The Source, Mayor Jones.
Hi, good to be with you.
So where do you see moving forward now?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, even though we don't have the independent economic impact study, I was pleased to hear that a majority of my colleagues still support receiving that. Now, I liken us agreeing, or some of my colleagues agreeing to that term sheet and then saying, let's get the independent impact study, as kind of like taking the test and then asking for the study guide.
Or baking the cake and then looking at the recipe. You know, it's like,
yeah. But, you know, and I know we're going to talk about budget here, and that's, you know, a key piece of information from that independent economic impact study would be, yes, impact on general fund, right?
So there's still going to be a independent study into this.
That was the sense from the council. Majority of the council members still expressed interest in that, and as we negotiate other parts of this deal, I think there is going to be value in that. Again, as much information as we can have going into this, I think is important. I think I also shared with you, I think it's really important now as folks go to vote in November at the county that we help, in particular, city voters understand that, you know, 311 for the county also means or could come with 489 from the city. So city voters are paying twice, which is why I think city voters should be able to vote twice on this.
All right. So you say city voters will be paying twice. I just want to break it down. It's because they live both in the city and the county.
That's right.
So they have.
So you've got you're paying the $389 from the county, and you're paying the $311 from the county, and you're paying the $489 from the city. So you're paying twice. You're paying $800 of that $1.3 billion. And again, this was really, again, my intent with all of this is, hey, let's go into this one with independent data. Let's go in with this eyes wide open so everyone understands, you know, what we're getting into. That is my intent. Again, to be very clear, I fully support us revitalizing downtown. I just want to make sure we're going into this eyes wide open, especially given the economic environment that we're in.
So you're saying that there should be a city vote?
Correct. I've said that. Yeah. I think so. You don't have to have a revenue bond election, but I think in light of the significant investment, and this is my concern. I shared this with you last week, again, based on the feedback that I have received. And actually, I asked my staff to pull the stats even from last week. 80% of the feedback that I received just last week on Project Marvel was, we support Project Marvel. We also support getting independent data. right? So there's a lot of people for whom this is not an either or. My concern is if folks don't feel like they were provided the data or they feel like this was rushed through, that they may, that may negatively impact and leave a sour taste in their mouth on this project, which may inform their vote in November. So again, I think we help ourselves by telling, by showing folks, hey, we're working to get the independent data. We're working to include you in these discussions.
When do you think there would be a city vote on whether or not to make that deal with the Spurs?
So I think that there's actually a number of opportunities, right, for folks to weigh in. I think the most immediate one would probably be May of next year, and that would be potentially the May infrastructure bond vote. I think we've heard loud and clear from voters that they would like to have it delineated. What in that infrastructure is for drainage, for example, versus specific to the downtown development. Folks want an opportunity to weigh on that, weigh in on that directly. Now, the revenue bond election, that is that would happen closer to when you'd actually have to issue that. So that would be, I mean, the timing is TBD on that. But look, at the end of the day, for me, if you pay twice, you should be able to vote twice.
So possibly November of 2026, we'd be having that election for the revenue bonds.
It could be that time frame, yeah.
And would that slow down the moving forward? How would that interfere or supplement the timeline for getting this done, for getting a deal with the Spurs? Can it wait that long?
I mean, that's possible to do.
Okay,
it's a feasible timeline.
All right. And so, and when you say typically when we do have those bond elections in San Antonio, things are typically broken down into, as you say, the drainage part and the other types of bond things and parks and things. It's usually how it's broken down. So,
well, folks wanted to be very clear about, again, that is their specific ask. So I think we can help people understand as much as possible what that is actually funding downtown.
And so we are coming up, though, in November for the county election. On mm-hmm. Are you going to get involved in that election? Will you be campaigning one way or another?
Oh, I mean, I haven't made a decision on that. I think people should review that on its merits. I think at this point, folks should understand, though, that if you're a city voter, right, 311 is, in fact, 800 for you.
Right, right, but if you're looking at yeah. this to county election.
Yeah.
You're not going to endorse people should vote one way or another in that county election for the 311.
People should vote on the merits of what the county has done there. Understanding, though, as it's currently configured, right, a 311, a positive vote for the 311 with the for the county is, in fact, a positive vote for $800 million in terms of total public contribution, right?
Right, but they aren't gonna, they're going to have two votes if they're going to follow your wishes. And so what is the city attorney, what is he advising on having a city vote on the
He's not advising either way. He has spoken to its legality, which is something that is possible. Yeah.
Right, so he's advising that this is possible. This is something that can be done. And although it's not usual for the city to have revenue bond elections.
Okay. I mean, $489 million is a lot of money. And again, I think we help ourselves by showing folks we're trying to bring people in. We didn't have an independent economic impact study, and there was all of 96 hours from the time that we received the proposed term sheet to when some of my council colleagues wanted to vote on it. That has not left a good taste in many voters' mouths. So I think by allowing people the opportunity to weigh in directly on $489 million, I think is appropriate.
All right, then. I'm going to get some callers in on the conversation when we come back from the break, and we can hear more about, I want to talk about the fiscal year proposed mm-hmm. budget. We have some public hearings mm-hmm. on that coming up. Also, you have some news you want to tell us about trying to bring advanced manufacturing to San Antonio. We're going to hear about that. And, you know, and callers, if you want to join in, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also text us at that number, 833-877-8255. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. I'm having a conversation with Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones about not just about Project Marvel. There's a lot more going on in San Antonio than Project Marvel, and we got to be able to look at all these other things simultaneously. Also, in the second half of the program, we're going to be talking about the problem of DUI driving, especially over the Labor Day weekend, and what law enforcement is going to be doing to crack down on that. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we'll be right back.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin. Davies with me in our studio. We have Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones here. She is ready to take your calls and answer your questions. We're talking right now about Project Marvel. We're also going to be talking about the city budget. We have some public hearings on that this week. One is happening this evening at 6:30 for District 5 residents or anyone else who wants to go at the Normoyl Community Center. That's at 700 Culberson Avenue, and you can go to that. And we also have a few more. We'll go over those a little bit later in the program. But now let's go to Susan on the phones. And Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I'm concerned that we still don't have any information on how the city is intending to purchase the land for the arena. We know that UTSA Regents approved the sale last week, but we don't know how much it's going to cost or how they're going to finance it. And that financing may require an election depending on how they do it. And it's certainly going to up the cost to over the $489 million that we're now being told is the city's contribution. So I think we need to know that before November, and I'm wondering when we are going to know that. Thanks.
All right, Susan, that's a great question. That land where the Institute of Texan Cultures used to stand or is being demolished right now, what about that land? How does the city gain that land?
Yeah, my understanding of the value of that land is about $60 million.
60?
60, yeah. And that is something that is outside of the 489. So making sure that we are, my understanding as well is there'd be some contribution from the Spurs toward that financing. So that's a key part of this. As we all know, that's a very valuable piece of real estate, but obviously to key to this portion.
Any talk of land swaps? I know UTSA wants to expand its footprint in, around downtown, especially as they develop their downtown campus. Could that be part of the deal?
Could be.
Okay. All right, then. Let's go to the next caller. We have Sean. And Sean, go ahead. You're on the
Sean
air.
Sean Elliott, is that you?
I wish.
All right. Okay. It's not Memorial Day, so it's no Sean Elliott. All right, Sean, go ahead.
Thank you for your work. And I'm glad that you got elected. We need some new voices in there. So why isn't there being serious economic investigation on revitalizing that spot around the current Frost Bank? We know that that was a promise that when it got built there, it was going to revitalize that area. That did not happen. And it's just a lot of empty parking lots that are sitting there. And it's just really sad, the lack of imagination, which is just to abandon a spot. And it's going to go downhill even further once a new stadium gets built. Why isn't there some sort of investigation on a serious investment in that area? Let's say take all those parking lots, build a few giant parking garages and turn that into a new Pearl area. Isn't that the same reason why they want to move down in the downtown area so that we can be access to all the restaurants and keep all the patrons there? Well, I think it'd be cheaper if they turn that area and actually invest in that area into a mixed use spot that if they promised 30 years ago. So again, it seems like a lack of imagination and what is being done as an alternative to what the San Antonio Spurs wants.
All right, Sean, thank you for that. That is also part of the county's plan. Mm-hmm. Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, that is what the county is looking at. I'm not exactly, again, that's between Judge Sakai and you know, negotiations that they're having with the Spurs. My understanding is there is not a community benefits agreement, though, that would speak to some of the things that you're talking to, Sean. Again, I can certainly empathize. Exactly what you point out is why we really, in my mind, wanted to make sure that the term sheet proceed, as well as all the agreements are as tight as they can be, because we have, frankly, a lot of lessons learned that we can apply to this situation and ensure that we don't make some of those same mistakes.
All right. Another caller, Catherine. Catherine, you're on the air.
Yes, everyone is talking money, but what about the environmental impact of this massive project that is glass and concrete and taking up green spaces? What is the environmental impact on our city, which is already a gigantic heat dome? We're in a 7-year drought. When will we ever get back to regular rain?
All right, Catherine, so will there be like an environmental impact study that's probably required?
Certainly, there are federal regulations, and hopefully they remain intact, that would govern, how such a major construction project would need to be executed. I can certainly, I think many of us remember reading about, some of the construction around even the Alamo Dome, and some of the health impacts to that community, and how that impacted some of the health consequences that you read about as a result of that. So I think, we're keeping those front and center to ensure that we are, protecting as many folks as we possibly can within the legal structure.
And Elizabeth, we have Elizabeth on the phones. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You're on the air.
Yeah. I was just wondering, so is you making the Spurs deal a big thing, just a part of distracting the public from the city's lack of use of the reproductive justice funds?
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you for that call. So those are two very different things. Is there any connection at all?
No.
Okay, so that's your answer, Elizabeth. These are unrelated issues. When people were talking in support of passing the term sheet, there was a lot of chatter about how there was a 30-year commitment from the Spurs to stay in San Antonio if that was passed. Mm-hmm. Do you see that as a binding promise that, if this gets built, the Spurs will have a 30-year commitment in San Antonio?
I mean, I would hope so. But that doesn't mean we couldn't still do our due diligence. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that somebody like Peter Holt himself would not seek a second opinion on a major investment. The fact that we don't have independent economic data. And I think that only helps us, right, to go sell this to folks and help them see, the goodness of the deal if it does, in fact, corroborate the Spurs' numbers. I think we can do both things at the same time. We can make sure we've got the good data, make sure we've got public input, and ensure that we're best supporting our Spurs for as long as possible.
I mean, if you get an independent economic look at this Spurs deal, there's no way they're going to say that it's close to that report that came out. I mean, that report was so inflated. Even Spurs Jesus would say that was not, it was sinful how incredibly, bloated that report was. So if you get a new independent economic report, how good does it have to be for you to say we will sign off on this?
Look, the numbers have to make sense. I mean, these very subjective words of good, bad, it's about the numbers. Do the numbers make sense? Can we afford it? This is not an emotional thing, right? This is about, can we afford it in light of where we are now and in light of where we expect to be, right? So many folks, to your point, have raised concerns about some of the assumptions that are made in that, the lack of a real concrete understanding of what the data sources are. So I think we owe it to ourselves to make sure that we get that independent data and then, again, have a conversation with the public so we go into this eyes wide open.
So I do want to talk about that there's an opportunity for residents to learn more about the fiscal year 2026 proposed budget.
Mm-hmm.
We have these hearings, these community events coming up. One is today for District 5, the Normoyle Community Center, 700 Culberson Avenue at 6:30. We have two tomorrow, District 1 at the main library downtown, District 4, Robinetta Community and Senior Center, that's also at 6:30. And then there's one on Wednesday at District 8 at the Phil Hardberg Urban Ecology Center. Mm-hmm. We're going to see some tough choices have to be made in this budget, right? So you want community input is essential.
Yeah, it's really important folks show up. I've been to several already. I've been to the District 10.
We all saw that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is if you're talking about the budget, I mean, yes, that's a 1 and 2 year kind of forecast. But this idea that you can't talk about a major investment in light of your pocketbook today is a wild place to be.
Well, those are important, though, because
if we're talking about general fund, I think it's important we also kind of walk and chew gum at the same time in terms of how can we strengthen the general fund, because, you know, that's exactly why I think it's important that we look at ways in which the Spurs deal in particular can help us strengthen the general fund. And we understand how that deal impacts our general fund long term, right? So I've been to the D10, I went to D2, D7, and then I went to the youth one this weekend, which is a good one. And they've got a little bit of a different exercise, and I appreciated the youth's feedback because their feedback was, you know, what would you want the city to look like in 20 years? And it was fascinating because some of that feedback was, you know, kids playing safely. More opportunities for young people to go to college, less hatred. It was interesting that some of their things were as much structural as they were kind of how they wanted to feel in their community, which is why, you know, I think it's really important as we're making these investments and changes in the budget that we kind of never forget kind of the long-term implications of some of these things and the need to be, you know, really smart about the long-term debt that we're signing our kids up for.
And you mentioned the general fund several mm-hmm. times and about how the Project Marvel mm-hmm. situation, even though the revenue that's being talked about mm-hmm. for the city and the county is not coming from general funds. It's coming from it's basically from the downtown district revenues and leases and other agreements, you know, the taxing of the hotels mm-hmm. and things like that. So how do you get from there to mm-hmm. the general revenue fund?
Yeah. So just because money doesn't ever make it into the general fund doesn't mean that it could not have. So, for example, one of the ways in which the arena would be financed is through the TERS, right, Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone. And what that does is it says property taxes that would be accrued in that area are not going to come to the general fund. They are going to go help and finance the Spurs arena. So, again, somebody made this great analogy. This saying that this is not going to impact the general fund is saying like you're not paying taxes because it's in your withholdings. Like, just because it never makes it into your bank account doesn't mean that it could not have, right, at some point in time. I think there's also, you know, other ways to think creatively about it, right? Does all of that property tax need to go to help finance the arena, or could some of that come back into the general fund, right? So those are the ways in which I think we have to be kind of intellectually honest about this. That's what I think. The other piece of this, again, is also the bond, right? We've got the bond coming up. That's the way in which we invest in infrastructure in our community. And so, you know, if we say that X amount, as I shared previously, 220, 250 is what that initial bond mm-hmm. Package is looking like for downtown development to support that. And if our community said, hey, let's do, you know, $411 million toward the 14 flood projects in our city that it doesn't look like we're going to get any help from the state for, then you're already at 660. So you don't have much more to give. And so this idea that it's not that we're not paying for it in certain ways is I think we need to interrogate that and be intellectually honest about things that we are giving up as a result of financing this and the ways in which we will pay for it, for example, through the bond that we will, in fact, pay for. Yeah.
So we're almost out of time here, but I wanted you to tell me more about this advanced manufacturing development.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. I'm going to be hosting. It's called the Taiwan Electrical and Electronic Manufacturers Association. And so it's a trade delegation, and they are focused specifically on electrical vehicles and UAVs, so uncrewed aerial vehicles, and they are looking for partners in Texas. And I got wind of it through a friend of mine that is working with a delegation. They were originally not coming here to San Antonio, but we had a conversation, and I was able to convince them to come to San Antonio. So I'm very excited about that. We'll be hosting them Thursday. And again, advanced manufacturing is where we've got a wonderful opportunity and a real leg up on communities on top of the very unique defense ecosystem system that we have here. So these are exactly the types of things that I think we are ripe to build here in San Antonio, given the talent already here, the manufacturing expertise that we have, and the direct connection to the defense industrial base.
And our geographical location,
yeah,
there's
absolutely
a lot of that happening around. And
that's right.
So San Antonio could be well positioned.
Absolutely. I'm going to work hard to make it so.
All right. Gina Ortiz-Jones, mayor of the city of San Antonio. Thanks for coming in here.
Thank
and
you.
Giving us an update on the Project Marvel, city budgeting, and possibility of a breakthrough in advanced manufacturing in San Antonio. It's good
Thank
to have you.
You. Thank you.
When we come back from the break, we'll be hearing from Sheriff Javier Salazar about a crackdown on DUI driving for the Labor Day weekend. Stay with us.